Go ahead, dream on. What would you do if you won? Go to lottery.com to learn more.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
And normally we start hour two of the El Paso History Show with El Paso History Moment, but today we're going to differ slightly and ask Herb Marsh to pick a Pepe's. What is the special, Herb Marsh, the Oñate special today at Pepe's?
The Oñate special is, I don't see it on here.
No, you have to name it. It becomes the Oñate special. Any one of those entries.
Then it's going to be green chili chicken enchiladas.
You know, people pick that a lot. Green chili chicken enchiladas, Pepe's Warren. And now we talk about the History Moment produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. Our History Moment today is about a famous date in history. Today, what a coincidence. She's talking about Cinco de Mayo.
The Battle of Puebla, May 5th, 1862. After Mexico gained independence from Spain in 1821, there were many internal political takeovers and wars which ruined Mexico's national economy. And during this period of struggle, Mexico accumulated heavy debts to Spain, England, and France, who were now demanding repayment. France, eager to expand its empire, used the debt issue to move forward in invading and establishing its own leadership in Mexico. Realizing France's intent of empire expansion, Spain and England withdrew their support. American President Abraham Lincoln, sympathetic to Mexico's problems with France, was involved in its own civil war and was unable to provide any direct assistance to then-Mexican President Benito Juarez and his Mexican militia. 6,500 French troops invaded Mexico on the coast of Veracruz and began their march towards Mexico City. But the French army ran into strong resistance near Puebla by a small, poorly armed Mexican militia estimated at about 4,500 men led by General Zaragoza at the Mexican forts of Loreto and Guadalupe. This militia defeated the well-trained French forces halting the initial invasion of Mexico. It was a glorious moment for Mexican patriots. It helped to develop a sense of national unity and is the cause for the historical date Cinco de Mayo celebration to honor the bravery and victory of this militia at the Battle of Puebla. But the victory was short-lived, for France's Emperor, Napoleon III, sent 30,000 more troops, and the French conquered Mexico. Napoleon installed his cousin, Austrian Archduke Ferdinand Maximilian, as Emperor of Mexico, who was eventually overthrown and executed in 1867, by President Benito Juarez. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
A lot of Cincos there in
the Mayos. A lot of Cinco. Five of them.
Oh, there you go. An interesting story there. A lot of stuff. In America, we celebrate it because the beer companies, I think.
I know.
The Mexican people don't seem to get, I mean, this wasn't their Independence Day.
No. It actually started, it's primarily celebrated around Puebla and that area down there. And now it's become a very big drinking holiday in Mexico. Well, actually, they party a lot down there in Mexico, too.
Let's ask about New Mexico. Yes. Marsh is here. And Herb, do they celebrate Cinco de Mayo in a big deal in Lincoln County?
There's going to be a party tonight, as a matter of fact.
Ah.
In Lincoln.
There you go.
But does anybody know why? Now
that's
we
just
know.
Now because of Melissa, we all know why. Interesting stuff. Oh, that's also put out by the History Alliance. You're doing that for
them.
That's
right.
And
yes.
On Facebook, they're huge.
Oh, I know. Oops, I forgot all about that.
And then Barbara's big over there.
So wrapped up in the Battle of Puebla. No, that we need to remind everybody that, you know, there's other people that are doing great things for history out there. You've got the people at Remember in El Paso Win, which is a Facebook page that has tons of wonderful pictures and history out there in their archives. And you can also thank Rick Duncan, who's an administrator that works with Barbara on this, like many of her others that help out. But we just want to give them a little spotlight this week for helping out.
Well, they help us out. They put our promos out there. They help us this today with 8,000 some odd people. Also, we had a request up here on a radio show page on Facebook to post the details on the railroad tour. And that tour is coming up on this, was it 18th, 19th, or that weekend?
I think I've got something I can post up on that later. Right now I'm trying to get Lovely Herb's picture.
Lovely
up
Herb
here.
Needs to be on the air. Okay. Herb Marsh is here, and we've got some of these things figured out. But the thing that was we were talking about, the sheriffs, and who did Billy the Kid kill when he escaped, and who were the sheriffs, and what about all those names? And the bullet that is still stuck in the wall on that stairwell went through whom?
According to the story, went through Sheriff Deputy Bell.
Bell.
James Bell. He was a deputy, and Billy shot him in the courthouse at the bottom of the stairs as Billy was trying to make his escape. And then Billy went back upstairs and, of course, pulled out Bob Ollinger's own double-barrel shotgun. And as Bob Ollinger came running across the street to see what the problem was, Billy leaned out the second store window and said, "Hello, Bob," and gave him both barrels.
Oh, my.
Ouch.
That will do it, and therefore Billy got away. Billy was apparently shackled to the floor at one point up on that second floor, right?
Yes.
Okay, I remember this room because now there's been a hole cut in the wall. But back in the day, that was the end of the building going that direction, and beyond that double wall or huge adobe wall on that second floor is where they had the Masonic Lodge.
Yes, on the other end of the building, the Masonic Lodge is still there. It's still set up with all the chairs and Masonic decorations.
It's amazing how that was the deal back then. On the opposite flip side of the building is where the courthouse is. Basically,
which didn't become the courthouse until after the Lincoln County War.
Oh, okay.
It stayed the Murphy Dolan store until shortly after the Lincoln County War. Then the county bought it as the courthouse.
So they had a two-story store?
Yes, they did.
Okay, interesting. Well, that's a fascinating building. I'm so glad it still exists.
I am too. The room at that corner window where Billy was kept was had actually been, and was at the time Billy was kept there, it was Murphy's bedroom and parlor. The walls are no longer there, but that was what was in that corner of the building.
And they had him just stapled to the floor, kind of, with shackles.
They did, except when Billy asked him to go out to the outhouse.
Aha! And it did. What happened there? Somebody put a gun out there for him, or what happened there?
That's one of the versions, but Billy evidently, you know, we don't have any witnesses because all the witnesses were deceased.
Right.
But Billy evidently told a friend of his on his way out toward Fort Sumner what had happened. And he described it as went to the outhouse with Deputy Bell, came back up the stairs to the second floor of the courthouse. Billy turned around, hit Bell over the head with his very heavy iron cuffs that they had on him at the time.
Ooh.
And took Deputy Bell's pistol. And that's what he used to shoot Deputy Bell with. And then he proceeded to get the shotgun and
go after
the other
one.
But the hole in the wall is what's famous, and somebody smartly left it there.
Yes.
Oh, my. Some people with history, that's a terrible thing. Cover that up. No, no.
I doubt that the bullet itself is there anymore, but the hole is.
Oh, goodness, yeah. So a lot of history there, Lincoln County. What else can you tell us about this? Because what turned out to be a battle between rival people in a county ended up being referred to as a war. How many people were involved in this, quote, war?
Each side had its own sizable army of gunmen.
Hired gunmen?
Hired gunmen.
Oh, my.
And they didn't necessarily weren't paid for their services, but they chose sides, and they showed up to fight for the side they were with. There were about 40 or 50 in each faction. Each side had its army, and they both went after each other.
You had a five-day battle between these two groups?
Yes, exactly. Toward the end of the war, both sides had come to the conclusion they had to have it out, and it had to come to an end after several months of violence. And one evening, the McSween took his group and his little army into town. They stationed themselves in various houses and structures around town that evening. When the sun rose that day, they were all in these structures, ready to defend themselves, and they had a five-day gunfight that went on until Colonel Dudley arrived in town with his artillery.
With his army. And they actually called it with the army. So did those guys sneak into town and take up positions? Did other guys know they were coming? What happened?
They did not know they were coming. They found out very quickly that morning, and then, of course, word got around, and the Murphy Doland army showed up.
Oh, my God.
And they just shot at each other for 5 days.
What? I just out of curiosity, how many bullets would fly in a deal like that? You're talking hundreds here, right?
I'm sure.
Where do they get that kind of ammo? I mean, is there a gun store down the street there?
Or sure. There were two or three small stores in town.
Okay.
That didn't really compete with Murphy Dolan's store. And they sold ammunition.
Oh, of course. Okay, sure.
Well, all the stores sold. That, your general store, mercantiles, would have sold bullets.
Oh, and also when you went into a bar, you could pay for a shot of whiskey by giving them a shot, right? And the shot was worth, the bullet was worth about 12 cents.
Okay,
I don't know. And the alcohol was worth about 12 cents. So at times, that's what became known as a shot, as I understand the history.
Bullets actually were worth more at those days, and many times at that time, probably around a dollar a piece. They were not cheap. They weren't things that they would just, you know, spend a lot, you know, they were pretty expensive.
Well, I've given you the story I heard. If there's a better one, call us.
Yeah.
Tell us what it is. But that's how I understood it became called a shot, and it was equivalent to a little glasses of whiskey. Who knows exactly? This is a building in Lincoln I've been wanting to ask you about, and it is it's an old building from the Indian days where people, when the Indians would attack, would run into this round building and save themselves.
Yes.
What is that? It's still there, right?
It's still there.
What is that?
It's called the Torreon. The Hispanics originally settled Lincoln in the 1850s, and there were several families right there where the town of Lincoln is located today. And to protect themselves from the Apaches, they built this round structure, Torreon, that had three levels to it. And whenever there was word of Indian troubles or Indian depredations, they would bring all of their families and their livestock into this Torreon and stay there as long as they thought it was necessary.
That must have been cozy. I mean, lots of livestock.
And it had portholes for rifles.
Yeah, I remember seeing this thing. And somebody very smartly saved that as well old days.
Yes,
I mean, there's a lot of places that think, oh, this is an old junker, let's tear it down. But then 50 years later, they wish they hadn't done it. And we're finding that all over downtown El Paso. Las Cruces blew away their downtown. Tucson did.
Yes, we are.
But in this case, Lincoln, New Mexico, was probably saved but out of either ignorance or people just forgot about it.
They saved it because they started early in saving it. Lincoln, as you know, is kind of a little bit isolated on the roadway. And that really also helped it preserve itself. You had to be going to Lincoln to want to get there. and so that has that its geographic location helped preserve it as much as other things.
What's the river that runs through there?
The Rio Bonito. Which is only about 6 feet wide, but it runs all the time.
Any good trout in there?
There used to be before the forest fire.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so imagine the forest fire.
They're
going to
restock it at some point, but the forest fire ruined it for a while.
Oh, I bet it did. And did Lincoln over there got some of the forest fire as well?
No, we didn't.
But at the up in the mountains did.
The river comes from up in the mountains.
Got it.
And, yes.
Lincoln County, New Mexico. A lot went on there. I'm going to talk to Herb Marsh some more about it. There's a lot of stories about Billy the Kid we haven't uncovered here yet, but it's time now to do some trivia.
That's right. I think we should get trivia.
Shall we do trivia? What are we going to do about it?
Yes, we shall do that.
What are we going to do about it?
Okay.
Where is all my trivia?
There we go.
Did you lose all your trivia stuff?
No, I've got two more questions left.
Okay, what is it?
Okay. Well, this is for $20 in gift certificates to Pepe's in New Mexico up in El Paso. Good Lord.
Texas.
I'm trying to make them in New Mexico, but they have New Mexican food. Or an El Paso Gold DVD, of which we have some duplicates of today. So if it wins one or the other, we got
which of
extras.
These questions? You did a bunch of these.
I know. I did a couple of them here. So now we have, this one should be an easy one. The town of Lincoln and Lincoln County, New Mexico, are named after what U.S. president?
Oh, I know this.
That's
I
a
know
trick
this.
Question, yes.
You're really trying to give this stuff away, aren't you? And?
Well, I'm getting chewed out.
Are you gonna
I've been chewed out because I make difficult questions.
But are you going to do the multiple choice or not?
Yes, I think
all
we
right.
should do that one.
Give that
okay.
a shot. See this.
Before it was the old Lincoln County Courthouse and Jail, the building that served the building where Billy the Kid was, of course, served as a general store and as a residence, but it also served as a arboretum, a livery stable, or I'm trying to read
an ice cream store.
You put that in dark, and I can't read
or
it.
Or a Masonic
Lodge. Lodge. So you have to name which one of those.
So what are your choices? Masonic Lodge, arboretum, livery stable,
or an ice cream store?
Oh, I know this one.
Yeah. So which one of those is the true answer?
And you can actually give away stuff based upon answers to
that's
that.
Right.
Oh, this is easy. Should we give Herb we can give Herb a certificate?
That's true.
But he already knows all this stuff.
I know.
We'll give him a degree, honorary degree certificate.
Degree from the El Paso All right.
And so they get this stuff if they, what,
call us? Call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Fresh.
I'm calling because I saw one of your delivery persons today, and he was totally naked.
Ma'am, I sincerely want to apologize for any...
Buck naked right there on the street.
Ma'am, we're doing all we can to...
And I say it's about darn time.
I know, and I'm gonna... Wait, what?
The human body is a beautiful thing, don't you agree?
Well, I...
We've suffered the tyranny of clothing for way too long.
Okay, but...
So thanks, Jimmy John's, for going all natural.
Actually, ma'am, it's our meats that are all natural.
Say what now?
Our meats are all natural. Wood smoked ham, choice roast beef, real fresh turkey breast, all natural and freaky fresh.
So I don't suppose I can expect all natural delivery in the future?
No.
Darn.
Hello, beautiful. I'm Amy Errett, founder of Madison Reed, a hair color company I named after my daughter. One of the things I value most in life is time. Time to spend with my daughter, time to spend with family, and the time I put into my company that's reinventing the way women color their hair. The busiest, most successful women I know use Madison Reed, the amazing hair color hack. In under an hour and for less than $25, Madison Reed delivers gorgeous, shiny, multi-dimensional, healthy-looking hair with an ammonia-free formula. You'll look like you just came from a salon, but the reality is you have more me time to do what you love. Things get busy. Let us take care of you and your hair. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code SUPER. That's code SUPER. Try it. Love it. That's the beauty of Madison Reed.
When you're behind the wheel, phone calls and text messages can have deadly consequences. It's no accident. Road crashes are preventable. Drivers who use cell phones are 4 times more likely to be involved in car wrecks. Stay focused. When you get in the car, put your phone out of reach and silence all notifications. And always set destinations on navigation devices before you leave. Because fewer distractions means safer roads for everyone. Take the pledge not to drive distracted at togetherforsaferroads.org/pledge.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Maybe take a long vacation. Bahamas, Maui, Paris. Maybe fill an entire pool with nacho cheese and have the world's biggest nacho party. Maybe get that tractor you've always wanted. Well, the Texas Lottery has paid out more than $21 billion to lottery winners. People who simply had a dream and bought a ticket. Lottery.com makes it even easier to play and track winnings. Download the Lottery.com app and get your first ticket for free. So go ahead, dream on. What would you do if you won? Go to Lottery.com to learn more.
When you're behind the wheel, fiddling with the radio or looking for the perfect playlist on your phone can have deadly consequences. It's no accident. Road crashes are preventable, and any action that distracts you from driving is dangerous. Nearly 300,000 pedestrians die in traffic collisions worldwide every year. Stay focused as a driver, especially at night. That's when most pedestrian fatalities occur. Don't let radios or cell phones take your attention away from the road. Take the pledge to be alert and aware at togetherforsaferroads.org/pledge.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We should warn you and tell you for sure that the Preservation Month is upon us. It's May. There's a huge event today out at Keystone on Donovan Drive. All kinds of vendors are out there, actually exhibitors, who will be showing things throughout the month. So go out there and get a preview of what's going on there. Next week, we're going to have that preservation crowd back in here for an hour, and they're going to talk specifically about a hands-on tour of Locomotive 3420. We mentioned that earlier. A bunch of historic rail cars on a rail siding on Hawkins. And we'll have more details next week. We'll describe it in great detail as to what we're going to do. That's on May the 12th. Hour two next week, we welcome Ricardo Samaniego. He's going to talk about his family's long history here in El Paso. He happens to be running for county judge.
Yeah, but he's got an incredible history.
He's a history dude. May 19th, what is the Crest Collection at the El Paso Museum of Art? We've got a couple of PhDs coming in here. Their curators will be here. And the El Paso Museum of Art will have a big deal about explaining how they've sort of redone the Crest Collection. Hour two on the 19th, Mr. Bernie's back in the studio talking about more history A to Z. And also May 26th, we're going to run an encore show here. Guess which one?
Which one?
Patriots from the Barrio.
That one.
That was an amazing show.
That's a good
anyway, that's on May the 26th. On June the 2nd, what was life like 50 to 90 years ago in homes around here? Because the Deming Luna Members Museum has kept a lot of history. Herb, you ever been to the Deming Museum over there?
I have not.
You need to go. It's an old armory. It was designed by Henry Trost in 1917. They took over the building, and now it's a museum, the county and the city. And what they did was they had all these houses with old stuff all over Deming. What are you going to do with it? They moved it into the museum. So you can go find a living room like your grandmother had. I did. I saw that over there. It's like, my grandmother had this and this. And Wendy went through the doll. My wife went through the doll collection. Said, oh, I had that tea set. Oh, there's my little dolly. And so that's just a room. That's just one of hundreds. No, not hundreds. Dozens of rooms. But they've also got a Norden bomb site. Think about that for a minute. What's it? A doll collection and a Norden bomb site in the same building. That's what's over there. They're on the radio that day on the 2nd of June to talk about all that stuff. And on June the 9th, here's another bizarre oldie but goodie. Melissa, get this. Asarco people are still around, obviously.
Well,
they used to live there.
Yeah. But
a lot of them lived up on top in amongst the smelter buildings.
Mm-hmm.
They had houses up there. We're going to have a couple of people from that era who knew how that was a lot because they lived there. And they tell their stories. And also, we've talked, I think we've talked Ed Santiesteban to come in.
Oh, cool.
He worked there for like 30 years, Herb. He put together almost everything that worked at Asarco was his design, and he had all these people that worked under him. Very nice guy. He'll be in here telling us what was it like to do that over at Asarco. So a lot going on there. What do you got? You got something going on?
Well, you've got out at the Archaeology Museum. We were talking about this, the presentation going on, but they've got some other great exhibits going on. The El Paso Museum of Archaeology's got the public. They've got these three new exhibits: Casas Grandes Resurgence, the early potters of Mata Ortiz.
Oh yes,
the children of. Histonym, the artistic tradition of the Hopi. The exhibition takes a look at the ancient times of the Hopi people of the Hopatuth, Sutu, and Mu.
Oh, just spell
I
those.
Should practice. Yeah, just I should know better. The peaceful people who lived in the Southwest maintaining their sacred covenant. And then you've got artifacts from the local excavation, which is a mini exhibit of the history of the El Paso's missions. And it excludes artifacts that they've uncovered from local archaeological explorations from the mid-1980s when UTEP excavated the old Socorro mission site. So that's going to be a great things are going on.
And that's
on
an exhibit.
Yeah, so it's going on ongoing out there. So get out there and check it out.
Speaking of trivia, which you were not, but we are.
I am.
Linda, Rusty, and Dorothy in that order. This is Linda. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Linda. So you got the first question answer? Who was who was the county named after?
President Lincoln.
Yay! Hey.
Are we trying to give this stuff away or what?
Hey, and he got featured twice today during the History Moment and this.
There he is. So pick a prize.
All right, which is $20 gift certificate to Pepe's or El Paso Gold DVD?
take the $20 gift certificate to Pepe.
Ah, only because you work pretty close there, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Have you been there before?
Yes, I have.
Okay, what's the special today?
I believe it was the green chicken, chili chicken enchiladas.
Yay!
Yay! And what it means is you pay $6 for that no matter what's on the menu, and that'll be the Oñate special. Oh, cool. All right, you ready to pick up a prize? Shelley will tell you how to do that.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks for
listening. Thank you for calling, Linda. We're going to go to another caller. This one
is... Thanks for her service. She's a...
A what?
Peace officer.
Oh, Rusty. Okay, that was Linda. This is Rusty. Hey, Rusty, how's life?
Good, good. How are you guys? Good to hear you.
Good morning, Rusty. Okay, do you have an answer for the second question?
Which is what?
And that was before the old Lincoln County Courthouse was in jail, was there when Billy the Kid was there. What did that building serve as? It served as a general store and a residence, but there were some other things. Was it a Masonic Lodge, an arboretum, a livery stable, or an ice cream store?
I think that was the Masonic Lodge.
There you go.
I wanted it to be an ice cream store, Herb, but you know what? They couldn't keep ice cream safe in those years. There's no way to keep it cold.
No way.
Hey, Rusty, I want you to know, he stumped me. When I had it just down as a Masonic Lodge, and they sent on all these other things. I'm like, where did you find that information?
I made it up, because those are non-winning choices.
I was like, what?
And so that was Rusty right there.
Okay, so we have an El Paso Gold DVD. We got a choice of...
The Waco Tanks is interesting.
Cristo Rey.
Legend of the Mountains, Cristo Rey. Those are all stories you need to know about. And if you've already got it, send it to your cousin in Chicago.
There you go.
Is the Pepe's certificate still available?
It's already gone.
The first caller this hour got that.
But we got Tom Lee's El Paso Ghost Stories 1 and 4. We have the transportation. We have Gunfights of the Old West.
3, 2, 1, go. Pick one.
I'll take the Gunfights of the West.
Gunfights of the Old West. That's not how the song goes.
I think I said it.
You better have it. You gave it away.
Wait. Did I lie?
It's not in there, is it?
Oh, wait.
We got to move on here. Let me put you on hold and you work it out with Shelly if you don't mind.
Shelley.
All right, now we got to move on to, we have Dorothy. Dorothy's on the phone. Dorothy's on the radio. Hey, Dorothy, you got a question for us?
Hey, yes, I do. I was wondering where the people in Lincoln went to get their supplies if it's so remote.
Herb, where'd they go?
There were two or three stores in Lincoln operated by Hispanics. And they supplied the community very well, and they did very well even before and after Tunstall arrived.
There was a train that went up there into at least El Capitan, right?
Into Capitan, yes, but not till the turn of the century.
So much later. So are we going to give her a prize for doing for picking a question we didn't have?
Of course.
Of course we are. What we have left, you think we're not going to give you one? We're going to have a DVD for you. I'll tell you what, Dorothy, this is Dorothy. We're going to probably have to get you to work that out with Shelley. Can you do that?
Yes, that'll be fine.
Anything else on your mind this morning?
Not right now.
All right. Thanks for calling. See you at Pepe's today if you can. And line one is now ringing again. Shelly got way busy in there. Shelly, the other caller here needs a DVD also. All right. We're going to take a break and come back and do some more stuff here with Herb Marsh and the stories of Lincoln County. We need to talk more about the sheriffs. We need to talk more about those pictures, because I think Herb thinks some sneaky pictures out there, huh, Herb? I mean, we could restage one now, couldn't we? But they would catch us, wouldn't they catch us?
Yeah, they would.
Oh, they would. Okay, enough of that. We're going to take a break, come back and do this. 544-whatever, 5876.
6-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all. Plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
You probably heard that mortgage rates are rising, and many economic indicators are pointing to rates going up even further. If you're thinking about pulling cash out of your home to consolidate debt, invest in the stock market, purchase a rental property, or even buy the Bitcoin dip, you should call now before rates go any higher. Make the cash call at 855-875-CASH while mortgage rates are still at such low levels, and use the equity in your home to meet your financial goals. Cash Call Mortgage can refinance your loan at a low interest rate and a flat fee of just $995. and we'll pay all third-party closing costs. Call 855-875-CASH today to begin the quick and easy process. We close most loans in less than 21 days to get you the cash you need fast. That's 855-875-CASH.
First Mortgages, Impact Mortgage Corp., DBA Cash Call Mortgage, One City Boulevard, Orange, California, 92868, NMLS, 128231. Equal housing lender, not licensed in all states, including New York. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions.
That's 855-875-CASH.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $150, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, you should give Physicians Mutual Insurance Company a call. 1-800-500-0898. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. Plus, you can choose any dentist you'd like. That's right, any dentist you want. Call and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-500-0898. That's 1-800-500-0898. 1-800-500-0898.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. 20 years ago, when my mom had lung cancer, she didn't have many choices. But today, you do. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer, please visit standuptocancer.org/lungcancer to learn more.
Hey there, it's Reese.
And Irvy.
From the franchise concept, Reese and Irvy's. By now you've heard about our patented frozen yogurt vending robots that serve 7 flavors of delicious frozen yogurt with 6 amazing toppings in less than 60 seconds.
To date, we've sold over 200 franchises, 1,000 robots, and we're officially labeled as one of the hottest franchise opportunities of 2018.
With no employees, no rent, no brick and mortar shops, just fully automated robots that work for you and deliver instant customer satisfaction. Revenue for you, smile. For them.
We secure our franchisees' high foot traffic locations like cinemas, hotels, tourist attractions, colleges, and malls. From installation to instant sensation, we provide you all the tools for Froyo success.
No experience is necessary, and full and part-time franchise opportunities are available.
To find out if your territory is still available, go to froyofranchising.com to learn more and be sure to enter promo code 1515. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 1515.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I'm going to tell you, but so is Melissa. What's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.?
Taxes and debt. How does El Paso rank compared to other Texas cities?
Why an entrepreneur from El Paso has acquired the tallest building in Las Cruces?
Creative Kids celebrates its 20th birthday. What's up for the most popular nonprofit arts program?
El Paso's premier business journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home and business delivery.
Visit ElPasoInc.com to subscribe or call 534-4422.
This week only on ABC 7 Extra, City Representatives Michael Noh and Claudia Ordaz-Pettis are there to discuss the city's master plan, the master plan
master
for
plan.
East El Paso.
By Dr. Noh, doctors. I'm sorry.
I'm not going there. Thought
it's
about
a James
it.
Bond movie, no.
Don't say anything about her either.
You can join host Stephanie Guadian on the in the discussion by email, Twitter, or calling in. That's Sundays at 10:35 p.m., immediately following ABC 7 News at 10.
All right, that's going on tomorrow. And don't
I'm sorry. Just every time I hear Dr. Noh, I think of James Bond movies.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, like I say, let's not go there. Okay. We got to talk about all kinds of things here about Billy the Kid. We have not covered it. First thing I'd ask you, Herb Marsh, what is the definitive source you would send people to find out more about Billy the Kid? Is there one or more? The museum you have in Lincoln County.
Yes, true. And there are several very good books about Billy and the Lincoln County War, several of them. I mentioned earlier the Hen Johnson Archives Foundation, which is there in Lincoln, which is a place where anyone can come by appointment to do any kind of research or heavy research that they want to do.
H-E-N-N.
H-E-N-N dash Johnson.
Look that up online and call them.
We have a website, Hen Johnson Archives.
Okay. And what else do we need to know about this whole thing? You had mentioned something about Brady. We hadn't finished talking about
Brady
the sheriff.
Brady was a sheriff during the first part of the war. I think he was a decent man, but he was kind of in the pocket of Murphy Dolan.
Oh, dear.
April 1st, 1878, Billy and his pals, the Regulators, were having breakfast in Tunstall's living quarters there in the Tunstall store. They happened to look out the window and saw Sheriff Brady and a couple of deputies walking down the street to the old courthouse to put up some kind of notice about a court session. They went out the back door. They all lined up behind an adobe fence that was surrounded the Tunstall corrals. And when Sheriff Brady and his two deputies came walking back up the street, they unloaded on them.
Ooh.
Brady himself, I think, had about 11 bullet holes in his body.
I take it he did not survive.
And one other deputy was killed, and the third one was seriously wounded. They wanted to get rid of Brady because they thought he had something to do with Tunstall's death a few months earlier. After that, then the Sheriff Pepin became the Lincoln County War Sheriff.
I guess. What else do we need to know about the photos? You had mentioned, we talked about how now and then a photo of Billy the Kid shows up.
Let me mention this, sure. If I may, Jackson,
sure.
I'm sorry. People have always wondered why Billy was the only one of the Regulators tried in a court after Lincoln County.
Oh, is that what happened? He's the only one?
Yes. Oh. All the others were never put on trial.
They call themselves the Regulators?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes. Like Rough Rodders, regulators, rowdy people, sure,
yes,
Regulators.
Exactly. And and it was when he went down to Mesilla for trial and was sentenced to hang for the death of Sheriff Brady that they brought him back up to Lincoln to hang him.
But there were four or five other guys firing. They should have been tried
That's
as well.
Right.
That's your point.
That's
okay,
right.
I get it.
Yes.
Okay.
And the reason that he was the only one put on trial, the only one sentenced to hang or any other kind of sentence for the many crimes that were committed, is that when they shot Sheriff Brady in the open street there in Lincoln that day, Billy ran out to the middle of the street where Sheriff Brady body was laying and picked up a Winchester that had been Billy's that Brady had taken from him a couple weeks earlier. And so everybody got a look at the Kid when he was out there by Brady's body. And they knew who it was. And the others, of course, stayed behind the adobe wall.
Okay.
So him being the only one who showed himself that day was the only one indicted for the murder of Sheriff Brady, and that was the crime he was sentenced to hang on.
He was the only one who got his rifle back that day. Yeah, I get it. So then they had the trial in Mesilla.
Yes.
And the sentencing, why did he go back to Lincoln?
That's where the hanging was to take place.
Why did they hang him in Mesilla?
Well, I think the law was you had to be hanged in the county of... In the county of where the crime took place.
Okay.
And the court is the same, in Mesilla was the same court that held court sessions in Lincoln.
So the judge just moved around?
That's right.
Okay, I get that. Well, all right, so there's that now. What else do we need to know? Because after the war, what happened to Billy the Kid? He got away with this, right?
Billy, yes. We all know about the pardon that Governor Wallace offered to Billy. But after the war, when Billy's side kind of lost, many of the people who had been with the Tunstall faction in the war left the county, you know, for their own health and safety. They left the county. And there is a story that Billy and the co-cousins were on their way out of the Lincoln area. The Coes went to up to Colfax County after the war, and they asked Billy to come with them. And Billy supposedly said, "Thank you, but no." He says, "I'm going to stay around. I've made my reputation here, and I know that I am an outlaw, and I'm probably going to just stay an outlaw, and I'm going to stay in this area and not go anyplace else." And so he chose to stay around, and for 3 years after the Lincoln County War, he continued his lawless ways, mostly by cattle and horse stealing.
And somebody would buy them from him?
We all know the name of Pat Coughlin from Tularosa and La Luce. And he'd bring them down to Pat Coughlin. He'd rustle in the Texas Panhandle, bring cattle and horses down here and sell them. Then he'd rustle in the New Mexico area and take them up to the Panhandle and sell them up there.
That's a long way to go for that kind of stuff, isn't it?
Yes. There are some interesting stories about those about the Panhandle cowboys trying to stop them. And, of course, it was originally a posse of Panhandle cowboys, plus Garrett and his posse, who captured Billy at Stinking Springs.
Stinking Springs?
Stinking Springs.
Where's that? Where's that?
That's up by Fort Sumter.
I'll be sure to avoid it.
Mexico.
And can you still get some stinking water up there, or what?
There's still a seeping spring there, yes. Okay. And at times, at certain parts of the year, it stinks.
I bet it does. So moving on to how did he finally ultimately end up getting shot, or did he?
Did he?
Uh-huh.
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he did. Billy did not survive Garrett at Fort Sumter.
Okay.
Billy was indeed killed and dead and buried there in Fort Sumter. The night of the shooting in Pete Maxwell's bedroom there in Fort Sumter, there were probably 100 townspeople there in Fort Sumter who saw the body and saw Billy lying there. They also did a wake for him that night. All of his Hispanic friends did. And many people passed through the wake during the night, and they saw Billy laying there on a workman's bench.
Pretty much dead.
Pretty much dead.
There you go, yeah.
And probably more than 100 people attended his funeral the next morning, where they buried him in the Fort Sumter cemetery.
But the story's better if you can write a sequel.
And oh, it is.
The issue is you can't really write this sequel because it's not true.
You can't.
The Brushy Bill showed up and he was somebody else.
We all know Brushy Bill is claimed to, in Hyco, Texas, to be Billy. However, there is a there are copies of a census taken in Hyco that shows that Brushy Bill was 3 years old on the date of Billy's death.
Okay.
Oops.
There's also a letter from his from
that
his
got
aunt.
Him, didn't it? So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's also a letter from one of his aunts up there saying, written to somebody in handwriting. It says, "I know Brushy is claiming to be Billy, but he ain't Billy."
Oh, okay. So enough of that, right? But those claims have gone on. Now, also, the pictures have gone on. You think we're going to find if somebody is going to find another one in a shoebox in some attic somewhere?
Well, we were talking about that there was one that was for sale and that the gentleman won quite a bit of money. It was when he was playing croquet that everybody was buzz about, but then apparently it's not the picture that...
Now known as the Croquet Billy photo. True West did, first of all, there was no provenance to that photo.
It's just a photo showed up.
Okay. The fellow who owned it brought it to Lincoln, brought it to the Hen Johnson Archives, laid it on the table in front of us, and had a chance to have a good look at it. And if you look at it, one thing that strikes you immediately is that the lower half of the face that's supposed to be Billy's is blurred. You can't even tell anything about the lower half of his face.
Oh,
jeez.
And True West magazine, edited by Bob Bowes-Bell, did a feature on it shortly after. They did the facial recognition thing.
Oh, cool.
And they showed in the feature that they took the individual on the horseback that was supposed to be Charlie Baudry in that photograph, and they put over it a photo of John Wilkes Booth, and they got an 80% match.
Oh.
Simply because anybody with a similar mustache and a similar facial structure is going to come up with at least a 80% match.
And they're both bad guys, so therefore.
Therefore.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But anyway, I'm afraid that is not a – it's considered by Lincoln County war people and Billy people not to be a genuine photo of Billy or – the regulators.
And by now we just have the one photo, they think.
The one photo is the only one that has a provenance to it, because that tintype that was auctioned off a few years ago for $2.3 million and is now in a gentleman's possession was given by Billy to Sam Diedrich, one of the regulators. And Diedrich kept it in his family all this time.
So that provenance is pretty
well.
And
they still had it. And they're the ones that offered it for auction 5 years ago in Denver, where a gentleman bought it for $2.3 million. That's the only photo with provenance to it.
All right. Billy the Kid remains.
And it is a tintype.
A single. Well, that's what it would have been. All right. Taking a break here. Coming back, Herb Marsh, and we'll see some ideas on maybe – how, if you want to get involved in this, what do you want to do about it? I mean, don't go start another war.
Well, I want to mention also on Facebook, I just put up two pictures that John Mottinger sent to Barbara, and it shows back probably about the 20s or so of the Lincoln County courthouse, as well as a picture from up on the side of a mountain probably or a hill looking down into Lincoln the town proper. So it's pretty cool pictures. I posted those up.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I'll be posting another one on the Nora True Hens book, where you can buy that book on Billy the Kid in the Lincoln County Wars. I'll be posting that also.
Let's go back and talk about that. Call us if you need to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Almost two centuries ago, Lieutenant W.H. Emory, guided by the legendary Kit Carson, led his army through the Black Range Mountains. Emory Pass is named for him. And just over a century ago, this was the summer lands of the Chiricahua Warm Springs Apache. Magnificent scenery highlights the curvy drive through the Black Range and over the 8,200-foot Emory Pass. Now, we're not an army, and we're not a tribe in the traditional sense of the word. We're just a group of hogs riding our iron horses this Sunday to a place magazines have written up as one of the greatest climbs in the country. Along the way, our trip will include great views of the Hurley Open Pit Mine and the Kneeling Nun Rock Formation. But the best view of all will be that of you and your friends riding across vistas that have been millions of years in the making. Your adventure can be as much a part of history as Kit Carson or Geronimo. Saddle up at Barnett Harley Davidson. Take a quick look at BarnettHarley.com, because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text PROUD to 79645. That's P-R-O-U-D to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's Program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text PROUD to 79645. That's P-R-O-U-D to 79645.
When you're behind the wheel, phone calls and text messages can have deadly consequences. It's no accident. Road crashes are preventable. Drivers who use cell phones are four times more likely to be involved in car wrecks. Stay focused. When you get in the car, put your phone out of reach and silence all notifications. And always set destinations on navigation devices before you leave. Because fewer distractions means safer roads for everyone. Take the pledge not to drive distracted at togetherforsaferroads.org/pledge.
Happy Cinco de Mayo from iHeartRadio. Enjoy this amazing Saturday with tasty food, drinks, and of course, music. Seriously, it's fun. Ready to get in the mood or set the mood for your party? There's a free iHeartRadio playlist for that. Open the app and tap on playlists. All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all free, including the free Cinco de Mayo playlist today.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Don't forget, Preservation Month is upon us. The river and the trail, big deal going on today at Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive near Frontera. And that's all going on until 3. They got all a bunch of exhibitors out there, and they're then going to spread out across the county for the month.
That's right.
And show you stuff. Next week, we'll give you details about the train.
Right. I'm heading there after the show.
And I'll be there eventually today, I think. As it is now, we've talked to Herb Marsh is still here. We've got George on the phone. George, you were on the radio. Good morning.
Yeah, I wanted to judge because I used to have a friend, and he had a friend. And his friend was an artist. His name was Edwin, and he lived in Fort Sumner, and we occasionally go up there. And I wonder, what was the story of Fort Sumner itself?
What's the story of Fort Sumner? What?
Itself. What's its story?
Oh, there was originally a military fort there, and then it was abandoned, and it was purchased by Maxwell. Who came down and purchased it and made kind of a settlement out of it.
So Maxwell's house was a commander's house or something?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
I'm glad you asked
and
that.
That's where Billy was shot.
I'm glad you asked that, George. I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, thank you very
that's
much.
It. Thanks a lot. Everybody, we're going to go to Pepe's today. Herb Marsh is going to be there briefly because he has to make an appearance in Lincoln. That sounds terrible. That's like going to go meet with Pat Garrett or something, and they're going to shoot you. No, Herb Marsh. You have things you have to do up in the mountains. But briefly, we'll go to Pepe's here. All right, we're about out of time here. Herb, your last thoughts here would be mainly, if someone's all that interested, you mentioned a couple of books. Tell us a little bit more about this museum. Is it really easily accessible?
Now, the historic site of Lincoln itself, run by the state, has a very nice museum in their visitor center there. They have a very nice museum. The other institution we were mentioning was an archives, a research archives facility known as the Hen Johnson Archives. It has a website, and it has to be by appointment, but it has loads of stuff for the Lincoln County and Lincoln County War and Billy Researcher.
If you really want to get involved in this, you can go look up things in these two archives we're talking about, the libraries, et cetera. But just walk down the street of Lincoln and think what the heck went on there, and you're in the spot.
That's right. That's what drew me up there. That's what draws
really?
Most people up there, is that it's a lovely community and as well as being historic. And everybody needs to come walk this one street in Lincoln and see all the pristine history.
And there are a couple of little restaurants still there, aren't there?
There's one.
One?
There is a hotel there also, but there is one restaurant there that stays very busy.
And it's kind of a rustic place, as I recall.
Yes.
But they have new food. It's not old food.
The restaurant is the old Jimmy Dolan home.
Okay. So that is what you're talking about. Herb Marsh, thank you very much for coming in today. Appreciate you doing this, traveling as you did. And we'll see you at Pepe's for a few minutes out there. And Melissa, we'll come back next week.
I'll see you next week. I'm heading to Keystone.
Keystone today. Control Room, thank you very much for putting up with us out there in the hinterland. Thank you for listening. Go to Amazon.com if you're interested in some of our DVDs. We've got to list it on Amazon these
days. Also, the book that I was telling about is posted now, where you can find it at the Dolan House in Lincoln, or you can also find it on Amazon.com.
Next week. Bye.
Thank
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.